Well, I thank the committee for this opportunity to present our findings today of a study that we did regarding a new antibiotic for the treatment of uncomplicated gonorrhea in men and women. So it was a phase two trial. I do have some disclosures. We have participated in other gonorrhea drug trials as well as STI diagnostic trials. So we are all aware of the urgent public health threat. In this New England Journal article, Dr. Boland really brought everyone's attention to the possibility of untreatable gonorrhea being an urgent threat. And then we're all aware of course, the CDC announcement. But what was the reaction to this? Well, in 2003, we all know that the CDC actually put out a call to action for new antibiotic development for the treatment of gonorrhea. But some of us may not be aware, in 2014, the FDA actually put out a guidance for industry for new drug development. And then actually just 3 weeks ago, the WHO reemphasized the need for new drug development for gonorrhea to combat the resistance. So ETX-0914 is a new antibiotic that's under development by Entasis Therapeutics. It actually is a novel and a new class, the spiropyridamine dryon antibiotics, and it's unlike any other antibiotic on the market. It works by inhibiting DNA synthesis by the accumulation of these double-stranded cleavages that do interfere with DNA gyrase. So it is similar to quinolones in the fact that it does interact with DNA gyrase, but it is still active against quinolone and vancomycin-resistant staph. In addition, more importantly for us today, is that it is active against Neisseria gonorrhea isolates that are resistant to both Cipro and to ceftriaxone. So in our study design, of course, phase two, as we've already mentioned, for urogenital, we're referring to urethral and cervical gonorrhea only. There are five sites that participated: LSU Health Sciences Center, UAB, Indiana University, University of Washington, and University of North Carolina. And we did have an NIAID contract to support this work, as well as Entasis, of course. So the primary objective was to assess the efficacy by microbiological cure or culture clearance of 2 grams or 3 grams of oral ETX-0914, and we gave that alone, compared to 500 milligrams of ceftriaxone intramuscularly. The second primary objective was, of course, to assess the safety and tolerability of the single dose study product compared to the ceftriaxone. And so we were able to enroll 180 participants. They were ages 18 to 53. And they were enrolled on the basis of whether they had signs and symptoms of gonorrhea on the day of their presentation, or a confirmed urogenital gonorrhea infection in the past 14 days, or if they were sexual contact to someone who had been diagnosed with gonorrhea in the past 14 days. They were randomized approximately 70-70-40 to receive either the 2-gram or 3-gram dose or the ceftriaxone. We enrolled patients from November 2014 until December last year. There was a test-to-cure visit at 6 plus or minus 2 days, and that was a test-to-cure visit as well as a safety visit. And then there was a safety visit also at day 31 plus or minus 2 days. And, of course, the primary efficacy outcome was to clear cultures, baseline positive cultures, to then have negative cultures at their test-to-cure visit. With regarding the demographics, there were 167 men, or 93%, 13 women, or 7%. Amongst the men, they self-reported homosexual or gay men at 40% and heterosexual at 54%. 6% were bisexual. There were 93% Hispanics, 59% African Americans, 32% Caucasians. So a very nice rounded demographic population. So let's look at the microbiological cure rate, or how many patients converted their positive baseline cultures to negative by test-to-cure. So for the 2-gram dose, 48 of 49 were able to clear their cultures for a micro cure rate of 97.96. For the 3-gram dose and for the 500 milligram of ceftriaxone dose, of which there were 47 and 21 patients, 100% of both of those populations cleared their infections. With regard to rectal microbiological cure rates, 100% of all of the patients who received all three doses or all three arms cleared their infection. And for pharyngeal, 4 of 6 of the patients who received 2 grams of ETX-0194 cleared. 7 of 9 who received ETX-0914, 3 grams cleared, and 4 of 4, 100% cleared ceftriaxone. And you can see there the percentage for 2 grams was 67%, and for 3 grams, about 78%. So this slide represents how many participants presented, or how many participants gave us non-solicited AEs. For the 2-gram dose, there overall there were 59 AEs, 21 were related to the new study drug, and 8 of those were mild and 1 was moderate, and that was a patient who had received a laceration. In the 3-gram dose, there were 12 related to the study drug, and all 12 were mild. And in addition, the ceftriaxone, there were 18 AEs, 6 related to the study drug. I do want to mention that in the 3-gram dose, there was one patient who had a severe AE. He had a non-fatal gunshot wound. And also want to just point out that there were fewer patients, of course, in the ceftriaxone arm compared to ETX-0914. So now to the number of non-solicited AEs. For the 2-gram dose, overall, there were 84 non-solicited AEs, and 27 were related to ETX-0914. And you can see most of them were mild. For the 2-gram dose, 20 were mild and 4 were moderate. Once again, that includes that patient with the laceration. In addition to, there were some lab abnormalities. 2 patients had a decrease in their white cell count. 1 had hyperbilirubinemia. In the 3-gram dose, the 17 were related to the drug. 33 were mild, and 3 were moderate. Once again, 1 of those was increased bilirubin. 1 was their white cell count, and the other was an infection, or a reinfection, or a new infection from the time they had cleared to their testicure or otherwise to the 31-day visit. And for ceftriaxone, just to mention, one of those was increased pain. The moderate ones was pain at the injection site, and the other 3 were lab abnormalities or new infection. So regarding the most common AEs and how and their relationship to the new study drug, well, we've already mentioned that gastrointestinal were kind of the most often, and you can see the yellow represents all AEs, and the green bar, the AEs that were related to the new study drug, and in pink, those related to ceftriaxone. So for gastrointestinal AEs, there were 19 overall. There were 9 that were related to ETX-0914, both the 2-gram and the 3-gram, and there were 2 related to ceftriaxone. For infections, and these were chlamydia infections, in addition to some new gonorrhea infections, there were 26 overall, and only 2 of those were due to or related to the ETX-0914. And nervous system, these were headaches. This was also seen in the phase 1 study. There were 6 related to the related 6 overall, and 6 related to the headache, and that was the most common. So overall then, ETX-0914 was well tolerated and has a very favorable side effect profile. The efficacy was lower at the pharyngeal site. This is very common historically. It's been more difficult to treat pharyngeal gonorrhea. In addition, we did look at the MICs between the cultured isolates at baseline and those at the testicure, and there was no difference in the MIC between those isolates. And we don't have that data. That data is going to be presented at IDSA by Dr. Sinha. So, as I mentioned, the pharyngeal, that is consistent with historical difficulty, but overall, single-dose ETX-0914 was safe and effective for eradicating Neisseria gonorrhea from urogenital and rectal sites, also shows promise for the treatment of uncomplicated gonorrhea. Thank you very much. I do want to acknowledge our patients, of course, and our site PIs, Dr. Marazzo, Bettinger, Hook, and Senya. Also, the sub-PIs and all of the clinical research staff at the various sites. We were supported by an NIAID contract, Intasis Therapeutics, STI, CTG, FHI 360, and EMIS, we want to recognize, and also the UAB Infectious Diseases Laboratory. That was our central lab for all the culture identification and MIC work. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to answer any questions, and thanks for your attention.
Thank you for the presentation. At the British Association of Sexual Health and HIV meeting, Kip Fairley presented some data from Australia showing a lot of pharyngeal gonorrhea in MSM in Australia and the possibility that it's also transmitted by deep kissing. So I was just thinking, in light of that and the fact that this medication doesn't appear to be as efficacious in the pharynx, is there any chance you can go up a dose? And have you tried any other doses besides the 3 grams to see if it's possible to?
No, we haven't. Those dosages, of course, in the phase one study were determined to be the dosages that will go on. So we have not done any work with any of the other dosages. But I can refer you to the company if you want to ask them, you know, about that. But like I mentioned, that's traditionally an issue with pharyngeal gonorrhea. It's very hard to overcome. And so far, Rocephin, ceftriaxone has been.
Well, we're getting 100% with ceftriaxone with azithromycin.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.